Good morning. Wonderful day. God is good. It's good to be here with you. And as Pastor Chris said, there are quite a few away. I see our usual row is empty. But people are enjoying themselves while they're away, I trust. So it's great to be here this morning to be with you. And how can you believe we're 21 days into the new year already? Seems like we blink and it all happens, doesn't it? But it's been wonderful over Christmas, and the 21 days have been awesome. There have been, I know in my life, there have been many challenges and many things, but it has been wonderfully full. And God is a wonderful God that does fill our lives with good things. Even in the midst of difficulties, as we look to him, he brings great things. Now, I don't want to drag on about the new year, but it is a special thing that we have a new year and we should thank God. But you see, as the calendar goes over, it really is a new day. And so every day is a special gift. Today is a gift, you know, that it's called the present because it is a present. It's a gift to God for you. And we shouldn't take any day or any minute in every day for granted. We should thank God for it and know that there are good things. But you know, even today there are still people that make resolutions and decide they're going to do all these things and they never get around to them. And one that I heard I thought was just amazing, and it was this principal in the school decided to ask his teachers what their resolutions were and he listed them out and he put them up on the board. And in the morning the teachers all ran around and gathered and started to read, and there was this teacher pushing in and, "Where's mine? Where's mine?" And it wasn't there, and she got so upset she started to, you know, really make a fuss and get up and down the principal. Thought, "Oh dear, how did I forget her? She's one of the longest standing teachers." So he ran back to his office and thought, "Oh, how did I miss it?" And he looked through all his papers and he found it, and so that he could apologise to her. And guess what it said? My resolution for this year is that I will not be upset about the little things. That I will really control the urgency that I often have to get uptight about things, and I will be calm. Now, isn't that interesting? So he brought it out and put it under her nose and she was absolutely shocked. How quickly we forget. You see, resolutions and things like that are made out of our mouth. They're made out of our thinking. The only things that stand are the things that God changes in our hearts. And if we want a new beginning, we need to have it. But even before I go on, I really have to speak to you, Jesse. I was really thinking and praying about you through the week. And then this morning as that we were singing, the Lord showed me a picture. And I saw you standing there and the Lord's placed a package in front of you. And it's not a very big package and it's not glamorous. In fact, it's something that you'd probably overlook. But the Lord wants you to open it because I believe the Lord has something very new for you this year. Very, very important. It may be very different to what you're used to. I don't know what it is, but I know that it's contained in that package. And so really we know spiritually that's a spiritual thing. But the Lord wants you to really open your heart and say to him, "God, I'm ready for whatever it is that you have for me." And I really believe that you're going to be sharing that God's doing something different, but something wonderful in your life. God hasn't forgotten you, Jesse. He loves you and he has something special for you. Okay. And you know, speaking about that, sometimes we're looking for the glamorous, we're looking for pretty things and lovely things, and often we overlook the very ordinary looking things. But you see, God comes to us really and does extraordinary things in ordinary ways. But as I was thinking about 2018, please put up on the screen, I came across this which I thought was very interesting. In fact, it's quite amazing. Have a look. The first of the first is a Sunday, the second of the second, right down to the 12th of the 12th. They're all Sundays. Only God orchestrates that. Just so beautifully. 1, 2, 3 to 12, 1, 2, 3 to 12, and 2018, they're all Sundays. So you see, numbers and things are important to God. Everything's important to God because he created everything. He created every second, in every minute, in every hour, in every day, in every month, in every year. And so it's absolutely awesome. And the other thing that is important is the number 8 is very, very special. The Bible signifies the resurrection and regeneration. And it's a number of new beginnings. 8 is 7 plus 1, and since it comes after 7, which in itself signifies an end to something, 7 is the end of the week. So 8 is also associated and shows us it's a new beginning of a new era, a new order. And so it's really exciting that we're in 2018. God is new to us every day, but this year God's saying it's new beginnings. And we know that we've gone through our theme about on fire, and we have Pastor Chris say something new for us, and I know that it will be something very powerful and show us that we have new beginnings. But what are you expecting? How are you feeling this morning? I trust that you have not got into this new resolution. What we need to do is ask the Holy Spirit to bring newness to us in this 2018, to bring revelation to us and to bring the power of his presence and show us exactly what he wants us to do. That's what we should do. And you know, I was talking to someone the other day and we were saying how it's just a habit. We say Happy New Year, but we need to say it's a blessed new year because it's a blessing from God. And happiness depends on what happens. And everything's not going to be happy. We know that. But we know that everything's going to be blessed and everything's going to be touched by God. So what are you expecting in this day or in this new year or in this new month? Are you looking negatively at bad things? Are you looking for good things, little things, anything at all? God wants you to get your hopes up. Hope is a very powerful thing. We hear the word hope and people say, I hope it's a good day. I hope my dinner turns out. I hope the meal's nice. I hope the kids get to school on time. That's not the hope the word of God's talking about. God's talking about a living and a new hope, a hope in him, a hope in all that he has promised us, a hope in the resurrection, a hope in the victory that we stand in Jesus Christ. God promises to meet you right where you are. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And one translation simply says, have what your faith expects. So what are you expecting? And you see, it very much depends on you and what you think and what you expect. And so today is a new day. Yes, it's the 21st of January 2018. And all of those things are significant, but it's what you expect or what you think is going to happen today. Isaiah 43:18-20, if you'd like to turn there. Isaiah 43:18-20. It says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field will honour me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people that I've chosen. Do you know today that you are a chosen people, a chosen generation? Doesn't that make you tingle? That God himself has chosen, handpicked each one of you. You know, I often think about when I go out into the garden and I want to pick, the other day I wanted to pick some flowers to take to my sister, and we walk through the garden and we choose. We don't pick every flower, we choose from each bush. And it made me remember that's what God's like. He chose. There's a vast garden of creation and God has chosen. And we know that we're chosen. There are many others that have been chosen that don't know it yet, and it's our place to tell them. But unless we stand in the confidence of that, unless we fully understand that we've been chosen and walk in that and have that awesome revelation, we're not going to be able to impart that to other people. And so this is a traditional time when people look back over the year and, as I said before, make empty promises. And God doesn't want empty promises. He's made faithful promises to you, faithful promises that will stand for an eternity. And promises, even just like that promise that I've given Jesse, that's not for anybody else. And whether Jesse accepts it or not, it's always there for him. It's his alone. Whatever package, whatever it is God has placed for you is yours, and it's not to be shared by anybody. I've just read that scripture that shows you that we cannot be people of the past. Many times our past hinders us And it's not only the bad things. Sometimes we get so caught up with the good things that God's done or allowed us to do, we get stuck there. We think about the year that we've had and all the good things. We might have had a great revelation speaking to someone. We might have had a great meeting, run some meeting or whatever, and we think, oh, that was wonderful. But you see, that God's showing us that there's even more to come. Don't get stuck in what happened yesterday. It's time to move forward in today. We have to forget the past. Paul said, forget the positives each day and move into the new day. Forgetting what lies behind, press forward to all that is in front of you. Past mistakes. We often miss God's purpose for our lives because we're caught up in past mistakes. Mistakes that we've made or things that other people have done to us. And you know, over this period of break, it's just wonderful to have that break. We love to be together, but it's nice not to have to plan things or get to meetings. It's nice to catch up with family and friends, and we've done a lot of that. But I've spent a lot of time, as we should do, and I do that during the year. But over the break time, it's wonderful to really ponder on things. And you know, things are very sneaky. They can get in there and we can get caught up in it without realising it. But as we spend that time in prayer and as we really seek God, he brings revelation and he opens up. And he showed me something that I thought I'd dealt with. It wasn't a really big thing, but it was something that would hinder. It was a little crack there. And I had to thank God. But if I hadn't taken that time and allowed myself to be exposed before him, I'd still carry that into this year. And I don't not only want to carry it into the year, I don't want to carry it into today. And so we need to be mindful that the Holy Spirit is always prompting us and moving us, because it's all about him, isn't it? And the same with pain. You know, we have pain, and not only the pain of disappointment, of being hurt, but we have pain in our bodies, whatever. But you see, we need to lay it all down. That's what the Lord said to me. Lay it down, Pat. Lay it down. That's what I died for. Lay it down. Rise up new. Pass it. We say to people, forget it. People can't forget it. They've got to yield it to Jesus. Allow the Spirit of God to come in and bring healing to that pain, that disappointment. We have families that even without thinking they can hurt you. One of ours, we had all of our children, most of them, unfortunately, Roxanne and Georgia and Bronte didn't get there because Georgia ended up in hospital. She was bitten by a white-tailed spider, and that's an incredible story that's hers to tell. She's still recovering, but God's done an awesome thing. It's a pretty terrible thing to happen, and it's got an incredible story, which isn't mine to tell. And I wondered why they weren't there, and Ross didn't want to tell me. He told me later. But apart from them, we had all of the kids together. And it was just wonderful. But, you know, during the course of the day, somebody said something, and I know that it was a mindless comment, but it could have hurt. And that happens sometimes. And afterwards, I thank God. But, you see, I thought, no, I'm not going to hold on to that. They didn't mean it like that. That's how it came out. But, you know, the wonderful thing, before they went home, they came up and said, I think I said something that might have hurt you, and I didn't mean it that way. And you know, if I hadn't taken that to the Lord, I don't believe that revelation to that person would have come. But it was put right because I'd put it right in my heart. It wasn't a big thing. If I told you, you'd think, oh, that's silly. But sometimes you can feel a little bit fragile, or you can feel a bit emotional. And I get a bit emotional, happy-wise, when all my children are together. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And God just overcomes all the aches and pains to be able to serve them and rejoice that we've got them there. But we have to lay it down. We have to get past the past and into the new that God has given us. John and I have been cleaning out our house. Somewhere in the future, we're thinking of moving. But, you know, it's difficult because the days that he's strong and says, we're putting it on the market, I'm not ready. And then the days I think, oh yeah, we've got to yield this, he's not ready. But anyway, we're in faith. We're in the process of going through stuff, cleaning it out and looking forward to maybe what God's going to do. And it's as we were doing that, I thought a lot about this message, because I'm very sentimental, and I'm not a hoarder of rubbish, but I'm sentimental of certain things that I keep. And I started to go through things and it's like, oh, gee. And it's like John would say, chuck it. In fact, if I'm not there, it all gets chucked. And then I've got to go out and go through to make sure the good things unchucked. Sorry, darling, but it's a fact, isn't it? He's a chucker. And then he'll say, where's that thing? And I'll say, well, you probably... I wouldn't throw that out, but he has. And so as I was going through this, I thought, well, it's true. Do I really need it? Do I really want to take this on into the new? No, it's got to go. So God's really been dealing with me with that. And so it is with our life. We have to look each day and think, do I need that? Do I need that to crowd my life? Do I need that to crowd my mind? Do I need that to crowd my heart? Let it go. Get rid of it. But you see, we're chucking it out into the bin. We're laying it all down to Jesus. Those things. We're laying it all down to Jesus. We can't take sentiment with us. We can't take brokenness with us. There's no room. You know, I thought about it. It's like Gary and Robin when they came. You know, they had their luggage and they all just bought carry-on luggage. The poor thing, they've just done a trip around the world for 5 weeks and Robin's mother passed away while they were there. So they came straight. So they've only just got home from the whole thing. But when Rebecca and the boys went back, they went back a day before their parents. Rebecca rang and she said, Mum, I can't believe it. We came down from Townsville. We went back not taking any extra, but we were overweight. Somehow there was an imbalance. And that's it, you see. If we're overweight, if we carry, we at the airport, we just pay a fee and they let us on. But you see, if we're overweight, we can't move freely for God. If we're overweight in our bodies, we need to be careful too because we can't. But if we're overweight carrying all this unnecessary baggage, then it's going to hold us back. So today I want you to say, this is your day. This is my day. This is my day. Have you all got lockjaw? This is my day. Absolutely. And we're not making a declaration of, you know, exuberance of emotion. This is a spiritual thing. This is our day to live and to live with God. In Genesis 26:18, it talks about Isaac redigging the wells. And if you read that whole story, it's very, very powerful. It shows us the beginning of the redigging of the wells from Abraham's day. It's interesting to note that the word for reopening or digging carries a twofold meaning. It's to search out, explore, and to dig. In other words, the wells were covered up and needed to be rediscovered before they could be redug. And so as I said before, we need to get before God and ask him to show us what it is that we've buried. Because until we find what it is, we can't let him open it up. So what does it take to open the walls of our forefathers? And sometimes that's it too. Without realising it, we carry a lot of things from our past, from our families, even our children. Our children can hurt us. And we say, look, I've really prayed about that, but have we really let it go? Have we really let it go? There are things that we can change and we need to do that, but there are other things I just look and I think, well, I can't change that, Lord. I've got to give it to you and move on and not allow it to destroy my joy, not allow it to destroy my purpose. So what does it take to reopen the wells of our forefathers? The Philistines plugged the wells with rocks, old wood, dead carcasses and garbage to ruin the wells for the future. Isn't that terrible? They stuffed it all up. And not only that, there'd been a lot of overgrowth and they were hard to find. But they had a purpose. Isaac had a purpose. And he and his men had to remove all of the garbage, etc., to make the wells fresh again. Once the wells were cleared, the water could start to flow again and the well would become clear and once again be useful for drinking and watering the flocks and the land. And so here we see Isaac wanted production, he wanted produce, he wanted things to flow just as God said. And so he knew that he had to get in and unplug. He didn't have to go and build new things. He knew somewhere there were wells and he knew that they had been plugged up. And so it took time and it took effort and it took patience, but he did it with his men and they dragged it all out. And you see, we don't have to physically do that. We just have to go before the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, show me where it is that I'm plugged up. You see, many of us carry many things. I know as a young woman, I carried many things and I just thought it was impossible. They were just things on my life and they were like a weight holding me down. And God was showing me so many things and yet I couldn't get past this thing. And so I had to yield and come to the Spirit and allow Him to take these things away and show me, yes, those things had been done, but they weren't who I was. And inside there were those rivers of living water that God wanted to flow out of me to enhance my life and to touch the lives of other people. And it's been extraordinary to me to see what God has done once He opened up those wells, that new life flowed, a new life that was clear and that was rich in resources of God. And inside each one of you is that. From the youngest to the oldest, those resources are there. And some of you are plugged up. Some of you may have started to open, but there are others that are still closed up, and God wants to really release that out of you. Isn't that awesome that God would do that? He wanted to use. And so the Bible says in Joel 2:25, "And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankers and the canker worm and the caterpillars." But you see, God wants to restore, but He wants us to open ourselves up to Him, to allow Him, and to believe what He says, not to believe what man says. Even medically, doctors will say things, and we know we need doctors, but don't listen to their verdict. Look to God and seek Him and know that He is God of the impossible. He can do impossible things. To us, they seem impossible. To God, they're just natural. He just wants us to trust Him and allow Him to work. And as I said, I could tell you miracle after miracle of how God works in that area of healing. I wasn't going to share this, but I will now. I was going to come weeks ago and bring a testimony of healing and show a PowerPoint, but I will bring it now. Some of you have heard, many haven't. But I had a bad fall in May of last year and due to an airport fault. And anyway, cut a long story short, I already have a condition in my spine, and that fall made it really, really bad. I was in a really bad way. And so I went to the doctor, they sent me to specialists, and they talked about all sorts of things, but they ended up to help bring relief. They said they would do an epidural infusion into my spine, which takes a few hours. And because of the pain and because of the difficulty with my arthritis, there's a new drug that they decided to introduce. So I went and had this, and after a few days, it did certainly ease the pain. It didn't make me that I could run, but it certainly took that edge off the pain. But within a couple of weeks, I felt this terrible pain in my left eye. And when I went and looked in the mirror, there was this big red blob in my eye. And it really looked ugly. I've got photos of it, and you can see, but I wouldn't want to upset the children. And so I went to the doctor, and of course he nearly had a fit. He thought I had a melanoma, and that was very dark and quite big. And then he sent me to an eye specialist, and the specialist got someone else to come and have a look, and they said they hadn't seen anything like it. And then he said to me, "It's a bleed," and I thought, "Oh, well, that's all right." And he said, "But it's under the film of the eye. It's not external, it's internal. And the only way we're going to be able to get at it," they decided, "was to cut and pull the layer of tissue right back to take this thing off. But it's fairly unusual operation, and to stitch this thing back, there would be a weakness that it could tear away." And he said, "You don't really want to do that because you've got very good eyesight, and I don't want to wreck it. So look, go away and we'll have to think about it." And I said, "Oh, I'll go away and I'll pray now. I know what it is." And he said, "Oh, well, you do whatever." So I went away, and of course John and I prayed. John laid hands on me. The family prayed. And I started to keep looking, and the Lord said, "Don't look. Trust me." So naturally you go to the mirror and comb your hair, but I wasn't just looking. So it just for the next week became part of my eye. And the other thing was that it was getting bigger, and he was worried it was going to affect my sight. In the second week, John said to me, "Your eye looks all dirty, like all the white looked sort of dirty." And I thought, "Oh Lord, you're doing something." Within 2 weeks, it had gone. I went back, there was just a fragment of it there, and I went back to the specialist, and the very words he said, "It was astonishing. It's amazing. How did that happen?" And I said, "It's God." And then within another week, the whole thing was gone. Now, they've actually written it down on my paper. His words were that it was astonishing, that it was amazing. I said, "Well, it's a miracle, and God has healed me." And he said, "Well, I don't know what's happened, but I accept it because it's gone." Now, do you know, I really wanted to shout it out to everybody about that. And I'd said to Pastor Chris that I was going to bring testimony. Now, this thing didn't stop me bringing that testimony. That's just time got away. But I was sharing it with somebody, a Christian, and they said, that is absolutely awesome, but why doesn't he heal your body? Ah, I thought. And then all of a sudden I said, you're missing the point. He is healing me. I had a specialist say he doesn't know how I'm walking. You see, we don't understand and we can't question God. This needed immediate action because this was my eye. This is the only reasoning I can bring. But God is keeping me every day in my body. But it's only as we trust him every day. It's like we need food every day. We need drink every day. As I drink him every day, as I trust him, you know, there are times I go to do something and I think, oh, I can't do that. Pat, what are you thinking of? Of course you can do it. I can do it. You know, I think I can. I know I can. And I do it. You see, this has a lot to do with what goes on in the spirit. Our mind can feed. And we need to be feeding good things. We need to be thinking good things. We need to be praising God in all things. And so I praise God. I get up in the morning with a song in my heart. And I know it's going to be difficult to do certain things, but I still keep singing. And I think I can do this. I can do this. I know I can. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so I know God could just touch my body just like he touched my eye, in the point that I could just run around. But maybe he doesn't want me to run around anymore. He wants me to be totally dependent on him. And so I thank him for everything that I have. So we need a new beginning. We need to start afresh. We need to dump some bad habits. We need to dump a lot of bad thoughts. Proverbs 22:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. And so there's the amazing reality. Whatever you think in your heart, so you are. And so if you think negatively, that's what it'll be. If you think I can't, you won't. But if you think I can, we're not talking about positive thinking. We're talking about getting the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I will say this one thing, just for joy to my heart, that Georgia came through into the Spirit about a week before this happened. And she had to have this thing dressed every 6 hours, and I was praying for it 2 o'clock in the morning because it was very painful. And she said, Grandma, I knew you were praying. And she said, I spoke in tongues and it didn't hurt. So God is a faithful God. His Spirit is with us. And it's just such a joy, such a joy. We've just got two others to come. They're born-again believers, but to come in the Spirit. And so that is what makes a difference. And it's as we pray in tongues. And so when I come to God, I'm speaking in tongues and I'm crying out to him and he answers me. This hope, it's a hope of a new beginning. And in Romans 12:12 it says, just get my eyes onto it, Romans 12:12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. But I want us to focus on that. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And there's our answer. That God is faithful and he wants us to be faithful. There is incredible power within each one of us to break through into the Holy Spirit and know what it means to be touched by him and have a new beginning. Your thinking can either make you a winner or a loser. And again, as I said, I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. I'm thinking about, John and I saw an old movie over the holidays, and this man was wrongfully committed into prison. And his one desire was that he would be found innocent. But anyway, it's a long story, but you may have seen the movie. One day he got this load of books. He applied to start a library in the prison, and he got this opera. He was a very educated man, and while the guards were away, he put this record on of this great opera and put it on the loudspeaker so all the prisoners could hear it. And of course they came and put him into solitary confinement for 2 weeks, and when he came out they said, oh, that must have been hard. He said, no, I had whatever the name of this opera with me. And they said, they didn't let you take the thing to prison. He said, no, it was in here. In here and in here. Whatever's in here, he said, can't be taken away from you. It's called hope. You never give up hope. And they said, oh, you don't talk about hope in here. It's a dangerous word. No, if you lose hope, you've lost life. And that's not hoping in things. That's his hope in a future. And you see, it's what's in here can't be taken away from us, no matter what happens. But it's got to be sown in here first. It's got to become a reality in you before it can be that steadfast, it can't be taken away. Otherwise, we're like that being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, with every thought, with every pressure, with everything that comes. Maybe this will work, maybe. No, this works. Every word in this book is mine. Every word is yours, every chapter, every line, every promise divine. And it never fails, never fails. And also, it's not only the promises, but there's guidelines, there's truths, there's correction, there's all the things that we need to live the life that God has called us to live. And so here we are. To put it into simple words, you become what you think. Whatever thoughts you allow to flood and occupy your mind daily is what's going to happen. Our thoughts need to be lifted to him and praising him. Memorising scripture, speaking scripture to yourself. Do you speak to yourself? I do. But I don't speak as a mad woman. I speak the word of God to me. And I claim it as mine. Pat, God's telling you this. This is what God's saying. This is a way. It's a new way. Walk in it. Walk in this way. It's new to you and you don't always see it all. But you know in faith that God has got the next step in front of you if you trust him. And God has never failed me. Never, ever failed me. And so that's what we need to do. And so what were you thinking at 11:59 on December the 31st? Whatever you were thinking would go into the next day and the next day till you break it if it's negative. But if it's in God, it's lasting, it's new, it's profitable, it's purposeful, and it's breaking, wonderfully breaking through. So today you have 344 days that you can be filled with potential and exciting new realities and a changed life. 344 days we have left, but it starts today. Whatever you sow into you today will remain. I love the songs that they chose this morning. They were just awesome and really fit in with what I'm talking about. That God has made the way. He's given us all things to enjoy. And we've got 344 days. But before life can change, you have to change. We want everything around us to change. And there have been times that things have been difficult in my early life and I've prayed and there's been no change. And God says, but I want to change you. When I let him change me, everything looks different. And also, he leads me to the solution. Because I'm looking at it through him, not through the fragments of my own brokenness and my own fear and my own confusion. So here's the test. Your thoughts have to be looked into. Thoughts that need to be admitted or rejected. Just like us cleaning our house, there are things we throw away and there are things we keep. You need to, before God, process your thoughts. And even examine your thoughts as you think things. And say, no, God, I'm not going to think that. I don't want that. I reject it. Because in everyday things can come, can't they? Even little things we look at. And even on the road. Even on the road. And we saw that with a very powerful play that I think Joshua wrote about, about our thoughts and things. And I know Justin got up and he was the good boy, the Christian. And it's like he's gone on the road and somebody honks him and somebody gets all upset about that and we think, gee, he was saying, gee, they must have a bad day. Even with that, don't let it get you all stirred up. That's road rage. And then people start honking back and then they start putting fingers up to each other and all these terrible things happen. We've got to just be calm. It's fair enough to say, gee, Lord, that was wrong. He shouldn't have done that. But don't let it disturb your joy. Don't get all frustrated about it. It's silly. It doesn't go anywhere. It only makes things worse. And you can end up in having to pay fines and all sorts of things. Finally, Philippians 4:8, and I love it. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, keep your thoughts on whatever is right, or deserves praise, things that are true, honourable, fair, pure, acceptable or commendable. Finally, brothers and sisters, keep your thoughts on whatever is right or deserves praise, things that are true, honourable, fair, pure, acceptable or commendable. That is what the Spirit of God wants to stir in your heart today, in this 21st day of January 2008, this new beginning year. New beginning, because as you think on those things, as Pastor Chris said in communion, God has good things. And within each one of you, each one of us, there are still undiscovered things within us that God wants to bring out. And so we can say, this is going to be a great year. Nothing changes because I don't change. But if you allow God, the Spirit, to move into your heart and to break away the old and bring in the new, you will be amazed at what you will discover about yourself and about what you can bring to God and to this church and to one another. We're Grow Church. We're not called Grow Church by mistake. We are to be growing numerically, but more so we're to be growing in ourselves. Not growing, getting fatter and fatter in our bodies, but growing and bursting in the Spirit. We're to be bubbled up, excited, poured out with this joy and this wonderful hope that God has given us. This hope that doesn't disappoint. This hope that Jesus went to the cross and he died and he rose again in victory to give us that victory, that we walk on the side of victory. We already have the victory. Don't fight for it. But allow the Spirit of God to bring that reality to you and take away all of the old and live in this, but always have hope. Father God, we just thank you for your grace and your love. We thank you for this day that you have made, that we might rejoice and be glad. No matter what happens in this day, Father, we can be over and above all things because you have created us whole and perfect. You've created our bodies, Lord, to be able to bring you glory, and you've put your Spirit within us, Lord, to rise up and glorify you. So, Father, we just pray that we would lift up the hands that hang down, that our knees would not be feeble, that we would walk and praise you, Lord God, and glorify you. And not, Lord God, look in the mirror and be judging ourselves by what we see, but we would say thank you for this creation that you've created for your glory. And that, Lord, whatever comes to us, we would bring to you and know that you have overcome. For, Lord, you have said that in this world you would face tribulation, but be at peace, for I have overcome. Lord Jesus, you have overcome all things that we might rejoice and walk in all things and become new. So, Father, I just lay this word before you now. I pray that you would bless it each heart, that your Spirit, Lord, might search each heart, each one of us, Father, that we might bring it before you and lay it down. Just like Isaac, Lord, went and unplugged the wells, we would allow your Spirit to unplug and bring forth that fresh and new and vibrant living water that we might serve you as you have created us to be. In Jesus' my precious name. Amen. God bless you all.